Let's do it. So my guy Craig, you know what I'm saying? Man, Craig's one of the people that I met online, you know what I'm saying? But he's from, well, he's not from Portland, he live in Portland, but you meet people and you cross paths and I feel like everybody, you know what I'm saying, loves sneakers. You know what I'm saying? This is the Craig is the he's the one. So we're gonna talk about his process of creating, where the sneaker love came from. All that good stuff, but I'm gonna go ahead and let him introduce himself. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, so my name is Craig Irving on social media. I go by Craig No Ice Cube. From Houston, Texas, born and raised. Went to Madison High School, graduated from Prairie View A&M University with a bachelor's in criminal justice. Got into sneakers in 2016, but always had my eyes on them like well beforehand, man. So jumping into like just what got me my first attraction to kicks was one being my older brother. My older brother, he was a shoe, he was a sneaker guy. And this was like back in like 1998, like 98, 96. I'm like watching him do his thing with sneakers. And he was always fresh, man. Fresh creased iron jeans, nice pair of Charles Barkleys or some Air Maxes or some Jordans. Like he did it. He did it all. Like he was definitely on it. And I never could have a pair, man. My mom, she didn't really work. She didn't really have that great of a job. And so it was tough. I had to just sit there and just like live vicariously through him. And for the most part, I kind of just always try to work with what I could get. So Stephon Marbury's were like my first pair of like sneakers that I really just got to like grab. Stephon Marbury, he made those Starberries that came in like black and orange and blue and orange. Yeah. And it was like 15 bucks a pop. And my mama was like, "Oh, shoes for $15? Yeah, we're taking that." And I was happy, man. I used to get teased, used to get bullied a lot. And at some point it kind of like faded a little bit, kind of just, or at least I guess you just kind of become numb to it. And yeah, but that's where the love started, man. It was my older brother. And then I want to say towards 2016, man, was when I kind of like I said, I've always just been watching. I watched everything, like the campouts, his like skipping school. Like when I was at Madison, like boys were skipping school, popping up with the new packs, with the new J's. They was hitting each other up, talking about, "Hey, bro, like, can you come with me? My mom's gonna come pick me up, or my mom gonna scoop us and go to the mall. I'll pay for the 11s if you take the this, or if you know what I'm saying, like, I want the bread 11s. You take the 12s. All right, cool." I'm seeing them come back, splitting the boxes and everything. It wasn't until like 2016 where I was really able to really get my own pair and start to really buy my own kicks. And what got me back into the mode and what like kind of like inspired me to go ahead and just start buying was for one, I was turning 23, and I told myself, I was like, "Man, when I turn 23, I want to get my first pair of J's. Like, I think I owe that to myself. Like, I'm 23 years old, Jordan year. I'm gonna get my first pair of J's." And prior to that, like I was visiting home, and now my little brother was fresh. My little brother had a pair of Concords in his closet, and I used to walk in his closet, and sometimes you used to see him put on these Concords. He'd have them like unlaced a little bit, not too tight, real loose, but they was like clean on feet, you know what I'm saying? And that was like Concords before, they started doing like the high patent leather. Like he had like that 2000 whatever pair. And one day he caught me trying his shoes on.
See,
He caught me trying his shoes. Bro, he came in the room. He was like, "Bro, your feet is too big. Get your foot out of my shoes." I was just like, "Man, bro, And I was in 11 then at the time, and I think he was like a 10, 10 and a half.
Right.
So I was like, man, this is close enough. Let me just see like what they look like on me.
Right.
Boy, he was livid. I was like, damn. I was like, my little brother out here, fresh, dog. My little brother out here got kicks. He going out to the malls camping. So my first pair of that I like really picked up were the I picked up the Jordan 6 Chrome Lows.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to Finish Line, and prior to that, like I was wearing like Jordan Flights and stuff like that. I was like before getting there, I had on like Jordan Flights and like the Team Jordan, like that's all I could do. But like right. I said, in college, refund checks hit. You know what I'm saying? We start getting refunds. Yeah, yeah. We start getting refunds, and I went to a Finish Line out there when I was still living in Texas, and some Jordan 6 Lows, Jordan 6 Chrome 6 Lows were sitting on the shelf, and I was right. like, man, y'all have these? And he was just like, yeah, you got some. I was like, I got 11. He's like, yeah. Went and got me 11. I put it on, and I was just like, damn, these are comfortable. And I think that's where my love for sixes came. Like, I was like, bro, like, these feel good. I love the spoiler on the back and everything, and it was low. So that was my first pair. And then I think soon after that, I want to say the Bulls Over Broadways came out, if not that year, maybe the next year or so. Mm-hmm. And I got me the Bulls Over Broadway 10s. Those were pretty solid. But like what really solidified me was me picking up the 2016 White Cement 4. That was the first OG that I ever got my hands on. Mm-hmm. So I got White Cement 4s, and it was just like, yeah, I think I'm here. Like, this is different. Like, I'm here. Like, I'm here with it now. Like, this is something that I'm going to keep doing. Like, I'm the addiction started. So, yeah, man. And that was all she wrote from there. I just kind of kept, kind of tried to stay in the know. I think I was still a baby in it too. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't really know the ins and outs. I didn't know like resale and this. And then I also had like the funniest thing, I still kicked myself in the ass for it. But this was right around the time. And I feel like, I'm going to always feel like this, but I think like, even though like I'm fresh to it, it kind of seemed like 2016 was like the golden era for sneakers. No, for some reason, 2016 and up just seemed like a hell of a sweet spot for kicks. It just seemed like they couldn't do no wrong. Like everything was just fresh, just right. perfect.
Not to cut you off, but I feel like every kind of market has that like year where like that year just felt good. Like housing, I feel like housing market has the same. Car market mm-hmm. is the same, you know what I'm saying? Shoes ain't no different. I feel like there's always a few years, because I feel like 2016 was one of them, but like 2007 might have been another one. I remember I remember the Flip 3s, the Do the Right Thing 3s was dropping, the Aqua 8s. I remember that run, like and that was like a run where I was like, man, like shit is just dropping. Even like people like rag on the Fusions, but the Fusions had their moment, you know what I'm saying?
And, yeah, Fusions, you know, hey, bro, Fusions was lit. I don't care what nobody thinks. Fusions was dope, man.
Man, Fusions was dope. You know, I look back on like how much money I spent on Fusions, and I just get like disgusted because not because they was weak at the time. It's like, you know, some stuff just don't age well. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like some stuff just don't cross over to like, damn, like I wish that would have really worked, because the concept was dope. But it's just
like, I don't think I would rock Fusions today.
No, and that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, like they just didn't, you know. But anyway, go ahead, brother. I'm sorry to
continue. No. So, yeah, like 2016 was like the golden era, man. Like, that was the first time I ever camped out for kicks, too. Actually, no. 2015 was when I camped out, because those, I think 2015, if I'm not mistaken, that's that December, that's when the 72 10s came out.
Mm-hmm.
the 72-10s came out, I told myself I wanted my first pair. That was my first pair of 11s that I ever owned for myself, 72-10s. And I said, I'm going to camp out. I'm going to try to do this whole experience and wait outside. And I camped outside of a Foot Locker over what was that area called? Gulf Gate in the Gulf Gate Mall area in Texas. Camped out, and it was rough. I was like, bro, I don't see how people do this. It was cold. I was cold as hell. I was hungry. Like, my homeboy had to run and get me some, there was a place, this hot dog stand, like, downtown, not too far from where we was, called Yo-Yo's. Shout out to Yo-Yo's. Man, make some great ass on the spot hot dog. Man, he went and got me hot dogs, brought me hot dogs. I'm sitting up trying not to go to sleep because I'm like, well, I don't want to go to sleep around all these people. Like, they all strangers. I don't know, somebody may run my pockets or do something weird to me or something. I don't know. That was my first time camping out. Like I said, 2016, got the white cements that like solidified it. And then moving forward, I got a hold to the band ones. The band ones were the first pair of Jordan ones that I got. Mm-hmm. And I was so self-conscious, bro. I was like in my mind thinking that like I didn't have the physique and like the aesthetic to rock ones. Like, I always saw slimmer, skinnier guys in them. Right. And I just felt like my feet was too big and I just looked too big in Jordan ones. Right. And I let them go for like $200.
Damn, son.
Yeah. I didn't know nothing about resale. I didn't know nothing about flipping no kicks. It was just, yeah, I bought them, but I can't take them back to the store. Somebody told me about a shop that sold sneakers, and this guy was like, how much you want for them? I was like, shit, like $220, $250. And he was just like, the dude that was in the shop was like, you want $250 for those? And I was just like, yeah. He's like, I'll give you $250 right now. He gave me $250. He was just like, bet. Like, and I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I sold some used shoes for $250.
Right.
And I'm just like, damn, bro, do you really, you don't even understand what you had in your hands. Like,
that's real.
What are you doing?
So you have the 2016 ones?
Huh?
You had the ones that came out in 2016?
2016, I had the band ones, man. I got band ones, let them go. And then things just got kind of rough for me. I had to end up just like missing a lot of drops. I had to end up selling some stuff too. Cause I kind of got like, wow. Like, I think at some point StockX came out. I was getting caught up in like the Yeezy hype. Mm-hmm. I remember like buying Yeezys off of StockX. I had Cause 4s that I actually won off the lottery that I had to get rid of just from like falling on financial hardships from like just like that transition from college and moving back home and stuff like that. Not really being able to find a job. It was like, this is crazy. So I had to sell a lot of my collection. I had to restart in like 2020.
Okay.
Like towards 2019, end of 2019, 2020, I started restarting. And that's when, I don't know if you see me on Twitter talk about it, but that's part of the reason why I tell myself like, man, I'm not trying to get into a whole bunch of brands. Like, I don't like trying to keep up with New Balance, Adidas, Asics, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. It's like, I was like, which brand do I like the most? And right. I love Jordans because at the end of the day, plain and simple, it's an African-American basketball player who just shut it down. And I love that Nike, and watching that Air movie, even it made me appreciate Nike and Jordan brand more, because it was just kind of like, oh well, like people were definitely in their ears saying like, hey, you put this black man on a shoe, this could like crash your entire company, and they didn't give a damn about none of that. It was just like, look, this guy's a star, he's the thing, and he's just a symbol of greatness, perseverance, and just like just championship DNA. And that's what inspires me to always rock with them. So I've stayed with them for the longest. I ain't gonna lie, I have been wanting to pick up a couple of Yeezys here and there, because that's my role. That's like one of my role models, man. But
right.
I try to stay with the Nikes and the J's.
Right.
And then yeah. So that's the story pretty much on how I got started with sneakers and how I just kind of just kept it going. And yeah, that's my little origin story for kicks.
For sure. It ain't gonna lie, like it do feel weird to hear you say 2016, but I'm almost 40, I'm 38. So like when I hear 2016, I was like, man, I might have restarted in 2016. And it's like, but you know, as far as like the relativity, you was 23 in 2016, I was 23 in 2008, and that's kind of when I started like getting like heat, you know what I'm saying? Because like I always had kids, like because you know, I had like shell toes, shit like that, you know, when I was in high school, little $70 joints, right? But when I got, you know, the refund checks, I had a boy from California who had all the who had everything. And I'm a barber too, so like he would like trade me shoes for haircuts. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, that's what's up.
That was cool. I remember he gave me a pair of Fire Red Fives. You know what I'm saying? He was like, bro, this all semester just keep me fresh. And yeah, I was like, I got you. You know what I'm saying?
That's a hell of a trade off right there.
You know what I'm saying? But okay. So, Nike Yeezys. Would you buy a pair of Nike Yeezys? They got a pair of Index right now for $70.
Shit, man. If I had the money, I'll be honest. They wouldn't be the first ones I'd get. If I had the money, I'd for sure pick up some the Chicago Off-White ones before I pick up the Air Yeezys. Air Yeezys ain't like, it's not a bad shoe, but it's also not a shoe that, like, if you take Yeezy name away from the Air Yeezy.
Right.
Are we really feeling that shoe?
I like the first ones.
You like the first ones?
I like the first ones.
Like the all red ones, I don't really care for. The black ones with the green and the red, I like that color scheme. But I don't, like, you put that shoe on the shelf without Yeezy's name attached to it, I don't think that would have been a shoe that I would have grabbed. Like, not right off the bat.
Right. And yeah. You ain't like, because it's like, you know, the combo, his name and the, you know, design makes it work. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, if I'm going to be real, I have to say, I don't think I would have picked that shoe up. So it wouldn't be the first thing, but I wouldn't mind having a pair for sure. You know, at the end of the day, his name is on them. He's iconic for me. And, it would have been nice to continue to see what he would have been able to do with Nike. Cause like that right there would have been golden. I still don't understand how that all got fumbled and how that all went down. But
well, it seems like his pattern is a couple years and he just kind of loses his, probably gets bored. You know what I'm saying? Cause it seemed like happened with Adidas, happened with Gap. But
it's something about creative freedom. Like they wouldn't let him. They wouldn't allow him to have more control.
Right.
That was like his whole thing. Like, man, I want to be able to do this and do that. And like, I kind of get that as a creative. Like, man, you putting me on the team and you're using my name, but is that all I'm here for? Like, I'm more than that. Like, I can come up with ideas too. Like, I have ideas.
But the short answer is yes, that's what you were here. That's what you're here for. You feel me? So you bought a brand of creative, and I see you know what I'm saying, your pictures is fire, your vlog.
Appreciate that.
You know what I'm saying, you just started getting to the vlogs, or you restarted your blog, you know what I'm saying? How did you decide to make like that part of you know seeing your sneaker journey? You know, being a creative.
Whew, man, if I'm gonna be honest, dude, it was once I got into sneakers, before I know what I know now about shoes, I was having to get online and look up, like, hey, how do I get my hands on these 2016s? And the first YouTuber that I started watching was Fomer Simpson.
Mm.
And yeah, I started watching Foamy. And watching his videos over time, just trying to figure out when I was going to be able to get my hands on stuff, how to get my hands on stuff. I started to like think like, man, bro, like honestly, like I've been wanting to do YouTube but never knew what I wanted to do YouTube about. And watching Fomer, watching Mike the Compass, Tony D2Wild, Kari, like watching all those guys, I was like, damn, I kind of want to get in the mix. Like, I think this is something that I want to like, I want to tap into, is just to just connect those two things. Cause I love cameras. I like doing photography. I like doing videos. Like, I could like make all that work. And like, I'm seeing that it's definitely a thing out there that people do. Like, it's not like weird. So I was like, all right, cool. That's pretty much how I got into that. It was really just started me searching, looking up people, and then just being inspired by them and wanting to get into it and make two things that I knew that I liked doing, like, just happen. Because funny fact, me and my little brother, man, we used to have this Canon digital camera before YouTube was, like, really major and, like, blowing up, like, the way it was. But this was, like, back in, like, 2000, I want to say, like, 2008, 7, we was making videos just to put on MySpace just for fun. Like, before you could get clicks and views and all the analytics and stuff, it was just like, bro, we just like being on camera. I just like being on camera. I like talking on the camera. I like being in front of the camera. Hell, I wanted to go to school originally to be an actor, because it's like, shit, I wanted to be in movies at one point. Like, I love being on camera. So making those two come together and combining them is where it started me just, like I said, it started from me just searching in the beginning and just being inspired by them. Photography and just getting into, like, I think I always loved video. I wasn't sure about photography. I always thought photography just took too much. The shutter speeds, aperture, ISO, all of that was like hella confusing for me. But like in college, we didn't have someone taking pictures at our events or making flyers for our events. And I was a campus activities board director. And so it was like, I kind of took that step and I took that initiative to start teaching myself, like how to use a camera, how to create graphics and stuff, for just so that our events could flourish. And then, in the midst of me taking the videos and doing the video thing, I started to just be like, man, I wonder if sneaker photography is a thing. Like, I see people do videos all the time. Hey, talking about this new shoe, but like, it's like sneaker photography. Like, is that actually something that people do? And I would get on Instagram and see people like taking pictures of shoes. And I still felt like I just didn't know what the hell I was doing. But, you know, thank the Lord for iPhone. iPhone kind of just like does everything for you. Put right. That shit in portrait mode, you just let it rip, you know?
Yeah,
you put it in portrait mode, let it go. But what really drove me to want to do it more and to really not quit was Sneakers Live heating up. During the pandemic, when they started Sneakers Live, they were doing like these kick checks and they was like reaching out to the Twitter community. And they was just like, yeah, find us on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? You got photos that you want to share. You want to, you know, shoot us something, shoot us your kicks of the day. Do that. We, you know, you may get featured. And that's when I just started just taking pictures of my shoes. I started taking pictures. And then in the middle of that, I just realized like, hey, bro, like, I like how that came out. You know, it was something about it was just, it just felt right. It was like, I like taking photos of my shoes. Like, I've always taken photos of people. I've always taken photos of like pets and stuff like that. But taking photos of my shoes and just being able to capture what they look like when they was brand new. And just like that product photography kind of style of photography, I was like, damn, I really like this a lot for some reason. I just kept doing it. And
now, is it easy? Because like I noticed when I take pictures of myself, right, it's hard for me, like, to, like, get, like, I mean, you set the timer, and, you know what I'm saying, and you just hope, like, you know, the focus is right. Now, how do you get the focus on, like, your shoes to be so clean, you know what I'm saying?
So, if I'm on iPhone, a little hack that I do have is I use an Apple Watch.
Okay.
So, I have an Apple Watch. You know, Apple has an app that allows you to access your camera on your phone. So the back of the camera is the camera that's on the back of the phone is 10 times stronger than what's on the front. Like, I could be over pushing it, maybe not 10, but it's definitely better, right? So I just take the phone. Sometimes I have like something on me, or like a mini tripod, or if not a mini tripod, like my bag or something like that, or something to lay my phone up against, and I'll try to find like some good like background scenery if I can. Sometimes I don't even be caring about that. I just want to take the picture of the shoe. And my phone, once you get it on your watch, you put your phone down, it's mirroring, and you can kind of see on your watch where your position is. And you press the button, gives you a 3-second timer, and that's it. It kind of, for some reason, iPhone is really good at being able to see what your subject is and what it is that you're focusing on. Right. And it kind of just does it on its own. Now, with my camera, which is right here, I was trying to set it up for the stream, but it's just, I ended up getting into the house late from work, so I didn't have enough time. But I have a Sony ZV-E10, and I use I just use a 50mm lens, so 50mm prime lens, and it's actually a pain in the ass sometimes because this camera is a crop sensor. But definitely I learned that good glass, having a good lens and some good glass, was part of the issue and why I wasn't getting good photos originally when I bought it. But once you get that lens, you get that right lens on there, this camera does really good at also seeing what the subject is. And then just sometimes I do manual focus depending on what it is that I'm trying to do. And some little hacks I'll do is like I'll find, let's say if I'm, you know, I'm about to be outside. I'm like, okay, well, I know I'm going to want my foot here. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to want my foot here, or I'm going to want to put the shoe here. I'll take this. Put that down somewhere, focus the lens so that it focuses right on like this.
Right.
Remove this, put my shoe there. This camera allows me to connect to my phone. And from there, I just hit the shutter from my phone.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, I think it's very important. And I also just started doing this myself. It's become a part of my creative process now. And at first I used to cut corners. When I would have my camera hooked up to my phone, or even just the pictures that I take on my phone, I would just take them, you know, probably put them on the Lightroom app on my phone, fix the lighting, get everything to look how I want it to look clarity wise, and then I'd upload it. But I recently just stopped cutting corners, and I told myself, man, take the photos off of the camera and not from your phone, because I found out that the pictures actually download a very lower grade of quality. So it's kind of crazy. Like, people always like the pictures, but like, I picked up on it one day. I was just like, man, like, I zoom in on this and like my edges seem really soft and kind of just fizzled out a little bit. And I pulled the picture off of the camera and it's like a higher resolution. And even when you're looking at it on when you put the files on a computer and you click on each of the files and you inspect them, it'll tell you that one has more of a dimension and more megapixels than the other.
Right.
So now I use an app. I use a program that's similar to Photoshop, but it's like Photoshop just without all the subscription crap. Like, I love Photoshop. It would be my number one choice.
Right.
But that subscription crap is just, too much for me. I'm not paying that much. Like, I'm not out here doing this like professionally. I don't get paid to do it. But this app called Affinity Photo 2.
Okay.
It's called Affinity Photo. I put my photos on there, touch them up, add my clarity, do all of that, do my filtering and all of that, like, manually. Like, so, like, that's something that I like now, too, is that, like, I get on there and it's like I'm not picking a filter from some app that's on a phone that anybody could get a hold to. It's like, this is like, these are like filters custom that I'm making myself. Like, I'm creating my own, like, I'm putting my own look to these photos to make them distinct. And then after that, it's like, I put it up. So, like, if, I don't know if you saw the most recent one, the most recent post that I did, but all of those pictures, I had posted them on Twitter at some point, like way back when. And if you go and pull up those pictures and you compare them to, you compare those pictures to how these look, the ones that I just put on my Instagram, completely different. They look completely different. I'm in love with them a lot more.
Right. And
they're probably some of the best photos that I've taken all year.
Okay.
So,
Fourth quarter. Knocking it out the park, fourth quarter. I feel that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and I saw that you got sent a preview package from Nike.
Yeah, man. I've been getting blessed, man, from the brand, man. It's like Kari says, man, like, relationships are everything. Right. And there's been times where I've just been somewhere, kind of just being myself. Like, I treat everybody the same, you know. Yeah. I try to be that guy that's like, if you're a cool cat, I'm willing to hang out with you, talk to you. I don't care about what it is that you may or may not be connected to. And so, like, that has put me in a lot of positions where, like, bro, I've been somewhere, I'm just dancing, having fun, talking, or when I was back at Best Buy, I'm like just helping customers, wanting to help people, wanting them to not overspend and just be genuine and be honest about what they're buying. And have ran into Nike employees, met affiliates of people who work at Nike, and they just put my name in conversations. Just like, hey, this is a dude that I met, really cool guy, I guess. And they just, you know, people reach out to me, and it just kind of just kicked off from there. The Yard Runners thing was me just kind of like being super excited and enthused about them paying homage to HBCUs.
Right.
Because I feel like HBCUs are definitely like underpaid, overlooked. People don't want to go to them because, you know, they don't feel like they're going to become like the athletes they want to be, or, you know, their education won't be respected because it says PVAMU, TSU versus Harvard. You know what I'm saying? Right. And they're like, there are some HBCUs out there that get a little bit more respect because of their name, but like predominantly most HBCUs, they have a hard time. So Richard is one of the guys who is over the Yard Runners program. You know, I just picked up on him and was just like, bro, I really love that y'all are doing this. Like, this is amazing. Went to, I got invited to the sneaker ball, was like hella happy about the Yard Runner setup that they had there. Was like just sending him photos and was just like, bro, this is like crazy. Like, this is dope. And I just kept supporting him. I told him, man, don't ever stop this. Like, bro, just keep doing this. Like, I love seeing this stuff. Like, it's cool. Like, this is, like, this means a lot, like, to me. And he was always like, yeah, I appreciate it. And then one day, they did the Yard Runners. I want to say they did Yard Runners 2.0. Mm-hmm. And they actually included somebody from PV. I said, oh, bro, you done it now, man. You done got somebody from the hill up there? What?
Right.
And then he was just like, yeah, we got somebody from the hill. And like, sometimes he would just pop up, and then it'd be stuff that's not even about sneakers that he would kind of just show up and talk about. And I would always just tap in with him. And he was just like, one day he just asked me for my address. He's asked me for my address, and he blessed me. And after that, I kind of just still was hella enthused by everything that they did. And he just, I guess, you know, I kind of just feel like I'm part of the team now. And I love that. Like, I want to rep it. And, you know, like, these are Black people in positions and that are, like, telling our stories. And so it's like, I'd love to be a part of that. And I want to be a part of that process. So, yeah, they sent me that. And I think that was part of why they also sent me the Tennessee Terminators, the Tennessee, the TSU Terminators.
Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. It's been nice, man. It's humbling, you know, and it's not, at the end of the day, I never really do any of this stuff because I want to get free things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's definitely cool when it happens, but man, if I never received anything, like I would still just, I would always do what I do, and I'm just going to still always be the person that I am, you know?
For sure. Okay. That's dope, man. Especially like, you know, you got that connection of going to Prairie View, you know what I'm saying? And they, you know what I'm saying? And they, since so your doorstep, that's what's up. Like, and I was with part of the team, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so 2016 is kind of when like collabs start going crazy, you know what I'm saying? That's when like Off-White.
Mm-hmm.
Showing up, and I feel like it was just like, not feel like we're oversaturated with collabs, but I remember that 10 drop was like something special. But I don't want to, you know, want to go there. But like, what's your favorite collab? Is like, as far as like, you know, the Unions, the Virgil, who else had collabs? You know, Cartoon, you know what I'm saying? All these cats having collabs.
Your favorite, I mean, one? My favorite collab is probably, and it's gonna be so cliche. But it really is Off-White. I'm sorry. It's Off-White.
What's there though? I'm guessing
it's the one. It's definitely the ones. Yeah, definitely. And I remember people dogging that shoe. Like, people said that shoe was trash. I was like, what the hell is Nike doing? What the fuck? People were like, what the fuck is this? This is stupid. This looks dumb. Why? Just give us a regular Chicago. Just restock the 2000 and this pair. I was just like, this actually look pretty cool to me. It's kind of crazy. Who would have thought that deconstructing a shoe would be like you would want to wear that? Like, I'm gonna fuck this shoe up. I'm gonna have it unfinished on purpose. Like, right. It's not finished. Like, this shoe is not finished. This is like, it looks like a prototype. He made that look cool. Who wanted to buy shoes that were already yellowed?
That's a fact.
Didn't want your shoes to yellow.
Right.
You had Jordan 11s that yellow, trash. Time to hang them up. Throwing them on the wire.
Right.
He got us buying yellow soles now. We want A's shoes. And, bro, for you to be able to do that, it's amazing. Like, that's one of my favorite collabs of all time, for sure. And the favorite shoe, my favorite shoe out of that would be the Chicago's. Probably right after that, the Prestos.
Okay, that's what's up. All right. I feel like those Black Unions is probably like my favorite collab.
The Union Force?
Yeah, and they cost too much for me to want to buy them. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, you talking about the Black Toe?
Like the Black, the Pink. You're seeing the first pair of Union Force.
Okay, so yeah, they did the Off Noir and then the Guava, the Guava Ice Pair, yeah.
So the Off Noir.
Yeah, I have those.
Yeah, and I ain't trying to spend like $1,000 on a pair of shoes. I mean,
man, you know, I hear you, man. I hear you, bro. Trust me, you talk to somebody who's there as well, dog. Like, I just can't do it. Like, I think as a matter of, like, second favorite collab would be Travis, because that's H-Town, you know what I'm saying? Got to show love to Houston, a Houston rapper having his own collab. And then third, but not least, is Union.
Okay.
Yeah. Third, but not least, is Union. I got the fours, and I want these ones. I want the Black Toe ones. Like, that's probably, like, my favorite pair that they have done out of all of their collections. But $2,000 is
gotta pay for crazy. The trip, man. You gotta pay
that for is crazy. Trip. And it's like, I was on the site the other day, and it was like, oh, yeah, you know, you can get them and do payments. And I was like, bro, is this really where we at? Like, do I got to set up a payment plan for my damn sneakers?
That's where we at, man. No, I feel, I'm like,
you know, you try to.
Yeah, that's just the game, you know. Then the game is people, like, I feel like the game is kind of, I feel like it's eating itself, you know what I'm saying? Because hype, for a long time, hype kind of carried all this stuff. But I think people are running out of, like, excuses. People are running out of money. People are just running out of, like, reasons to go and cop, you know what I'm saying, shoes for $5,000, right? You know what I'm saying? At least that's kind of how I see it. Because, like, I done had a couple pairs on consignment that ain't moved, you know what I'm saying? Like, I remember years ago, I would go down to the consignment store and they give you cash for whatever you had. Now it's like, oh, well, you know, we can, you know, like, we'll put it on consignment. And so now that, like, that kind of tells me, like, the state of the sneaker game right now. It's like stuff, like, really, if it ain't really heat,
like, yeah, and affordable heat.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Like, if people ain't moving, you know, I mean,
yeah, it's like
not moving.
It's so crazy because it's like you would think that would actually help, right? Like, you would think, like, man, shit too hot, ain't nobody buying it. Maybe they'll bring their price down. Nope, yeah. they keep it right there. So now it just turned into a hot duck.
Right,
it's heat, but it's sitting. It's just sitting on the shelf. Ain't nobody finna come through here and buy it because it's too damn much money. And, you know, I hate that resale doesn't work that way. Like, shit just builds up value. Like, it don't take a year. I mean, it don't take like 10 or 15 years. Shit be hitting $2,000 right out of the door. Right. Nothing gets a chance to mature. But somehow nothing gets to depreciate. Like, at this point, people are moving on. There's really no demand for the shoe. Like, no one is really, like, looking for this shoe. It's $2,000. The highest offer that somebody has is, like, $1,200. Is it still a $2,000 shoe?
Right. Right.
That's like, good. Why do we... Man, and I know you see me on Twitter all the time getting to these fucking, like, these resale conversations just because I'm so tired of sneakerheads getting fucked by these prices.
Right.
And we just let it happen for sake of, oh, you only live once, or you're gonna make more money, you know, or man, just, you know, just do it as long as it's not causing financial burden to you or your family. And it's like, yeah, man, $2,000 for a pair of shoes, bro, just
crazy.
It just don't feel right. It don't feel right. I don't know why we have allowed us to make, like, I don't know how we've allowed it to seem so cool and seem so like the norm. Because if I'm not mistaken, before StockX, I remember I was paying $150 for used shoes.
Right.
You used a shoe, you wore a shoe and it was used, you paid $150. You get on GOAT for some used shoes, like some beat ass shoes, but they heat. Man, people talking about they still want $700, $800. Bro, you wore that shoe into oblivion. You still want $800?
Right.
I'm just like, how do we get to this point where, like, when the Chicago Off-White ones first dropped, I was at the Sneaker Week that year. Mm-hmm. And a dude popped up at the Wacom Center. And was like, he had just got off the plane. He came from Timbuktu fucking two, wherever he came from. It was far. I remember it was somewhere far.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, man, I just came back from a flight with these. And he had said that he had paid, I think at the time, he said he had paid $1,800. And I said, you paid $1,800 for those? Like, at that time, I'm like, $1,800? That's fucking nuts. Compared to now, I was like, what? Like, damn near $8,000? Like, I'm wishing I paid
$1,800. Right.
Like, I was sitting there like, you paid $1,800? Dog, that's a lot of money. I was like, that is crazy. And it was like, that just wasn't normal to me. And then it became normal over time. The Yeezy Zebras was dropping, and people was dropping 2K on Yeezy Zebras. Okay. Just for them to be what, like $200-$300 now?
Right, yeah. It was really a wild time where, like, people was getting, I mean, they were getting it off, you know what I'm saying? It was, especially when the Air Max, that people going crazy, you know what I'm saying? I mean, so, like, I feel like.
Never having them.
Man, I would love.
$25,000 shoe.
I would love a pair of those. But I feel like it's all relative. It's like, when you have, like, those kind of collabs that are so rare, and then people are spending, you know what I'm saying, that type of bread. If you got a rare shoe that's not as hot, and somebody, you know, if I'm willing to spend 20 G's on a pair of shoes, but I can't get that shoe, I might go somewhere and spend, you know, 20 on 5 pair of shoes. You know what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. you know, so, but.
The thing is, though, is that, like, things are only worth what people are willing to buy.
Right.
And if people just didn't spend the type of money that they do spend on these shoes, sneakers would look different. Like, and that's why I've been, like, telling people, like, man, maybe we should kind of, like, hold off on the resale for a while. Like, I've been telling people, like, bro, don't spend that $1,000, because honestly, you don't have to. Them people pay $2,000 for Yeezys just for them to be $300 within the next couple of years. What are we really spending $2,000 for? Is it really worth? Because you're telling me that this Yeezy Zebra was worth $2,000. Can you still tell me that the Yeezy Zebra is worth $2,000? No, you can't. Honestly, they never were. None of these shoes are worth the money that you spend on them. They're only worth what you're willing to pay, but at base, none of these shoes are worth that kind of money, bro. Like, none of them. Because honestly, the idea of shit being rare is also just very false, especially with the fact that we have the fake sneaker market out there. People are replicating your shoes. What's the point of you wearing a shoe that you say is rare when there's 5 people at the party that have the same damn shoe that you do, and you can't tell whether they real or fake? Right. You can speculate, but, like, at this point, you paid to have a shoe that you felt like nobody was going to show up to the party with, and it's like 3 or 4 people there. They all got fake shoes, and guess who leaving with all the hoes? Not you. I try to stop getting on Twitter and preaching about, you know, resale prices and just trying to give that insight and that knowledge, because people are going to do what they want to do. People chase their happiness in many different ways. And I'm not here to knock anybody who spends that type of money on a pair of shoes. It's wishful thinking to just be like, man, hey, like, you know that there's a different way, right? If there's a better way, like, we all could have the shoes that we want, but we're not going to win in the sneaker game if we keep giving into consumerism. We let these botters bought up all the pairs. We know that they bought all the pairs. We know that these resellers use the bot to buy all the pairs. They know that they won, and they're going to sell them to us for $600, $700. Why would we go and buy that shoe just to pay them their money back and to keep buying?
Right. And I've been seeing spotters taking L's lately. They've been taking L's.
They ain't taking enough. We need, like, several years of back pay. Like, man.
You know, like, see the dude, I don't know. I mean, you never know what's real or not online, but you see the dude who had a stack of Lucky Green Ones, and he said he lost like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, them didn't hit like that. And the Reimagined Ones, I went back and forth with them. I couldn't do it because I got a pair of Royal Ones, like the originals, and I got a pair of Royal One Flyknit. I was like, I really like the Reimagined, even though they was on sale. I was like, I don't know if I could do that. But I remember how crazy it was for the Lost and Founds. I'm still mad I didn't get a pair of them, you know what I'm saying? And I want a pair, but it's like, I know, but I just don't want to spend the $450. It's like, I know y'all can let it go for cheaper than $450. You know what I'm saying? Like,
And there's a thing too, like, some people misunderstand me too. Like, $450 for those, I'm thinking, like, it was a shoe that got released. They didn't necessarily get bought it. Like, you really did have a chance, but so many people wanted them. Mm-hmm. Paying double. So them shoes what came out to be like what? Were they what?
It was 180.
180?
They might have been
somewhere. Yeah, somewhere close to double.
That ain't bad.
That's not bad, only because I do accept that resale is a part of sneakers and is always going to be a part of sneakers. I just think that resale just gets way too out of hand. And I think when it gets out of hand, that's when people got to like put their foot down. Hey, bro, you're asking me $600 for a shoe and we don't even really, you're asking me $600 for a shoe right now. And this shoe ain't been out for, this shoe been out for fucking 72 hours.
Right.
And you asking me for $800. I get it if it was like, hey, I'm selling you this shoe at $800 because I know one day this shoe is going to be worth well over this amount of money. But everybody's trying to get their money right now.
Right.
And I'm like, man, I can't support that, bro. You want your money right now. Hell, sit on the shoe. Wait till it is $1,000. But you want your $1,000 right now? Right. I don't think I should get that shit to you. It's not worth it. It's not.
Jordan silhouettes. I'm a fan. I'm pushing the anti-11 agenda. I'm tired of Jordan 11s. You know what I'm saying? That's just me, though. That's just me.
You tired of Jordan 11s?
Tired of Jordan 11s. I was like you. My first pair of Jordan 11s was 72 10s. And then at the time, my wife worked for Nike, right? Mm-hmm. So I got 72 10s. I got like, I was just getting J's, especially 11s, like easy. I go to ES, they had like the lows, they had everything. But one day I was just like, man, these shoes, oh no, but what happened was I finally got a pair of Concords. Now, when I was like in 96, you know what I'm saying, the Concords dropped in 96, I couldn't get them. You know what I'm saying? My mom and dad was not about to buy them shoes, you know what I'm saying, in 96. So when I finally got a pair of Concords, I put them on. Went to the Little Brother concert and they hurt my feet so bad. I was like, this is such a disappointment. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I waited so long to get these shoes. Got them, you know, on a, this is when sneakers that first came out. So got them. I was like, oh, shit, I got the Concord. Concord came, never didn't wear them. Waited for like a year, threw them on, hurt my feet. And they all kind of hurt my feet. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of gave up. On the Jordan 11s. I got a pair of Space Jams and that's it. I hit on the Cool Gray 11s, sold them. The ones, like the blue ones, went like 82 or something like that, sold them.
Yeah, I had to win like
82
and 96s to sell both of those.
You know, so it's like, you know, I don't know. I'm a hater though. So like, but what is your favorite Jordan silhouettes?
Jordan 3, and they're not in any particular order. Jordan 3, Jordan 4, Jordan 1, Jordan 11, and Jordan 6. That's my top five right there.
Okay.
The ones that can definitely sneak in there are 13s, 13s, and I'm going to probably say... I would say 12. I don't know. Maybe 14s.
Okay.
13s and 14s. I haven't had a pair of 14s yet, but I feel like that would be a shoe that I probably like that shoe just because it also takes on that aesthetic of a car.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's kind of the reason why I like the 6s. So I think the 14s would hit for me. But top five. Those are my top five right there.
Now, what Jordan silhouettes do you hate? Let's come on. We gotta talk about some hate.
Oh, let's talk about what we hate. The number one I hate is the Jordan 2.
You hate the Jordan 2.
I hate the Jordan 2. And I tried to love it this past year. I said, I'm gonna give it a try, man. I bought the Union 2s, sold them. I thought Warren was like, they ain't really hit like I thought they would. Mm-hmm. Got the Union 2s, sold them. I skipped out on the I'm on my year 2s. I was like, I didn't want the cracked leather. I didn't want cracked leather again. The Jordan 1s was all cracked leather. I was like, I don't want another all cracked leather shoe. Not right now. Skipped out on those. I got the Chicago twos, and I will say, man, twos are comfortable. They definitely got the comfort. They got the room. I just can't get with that look. I don't know. It's okay. I don't like Jordan twos. Shout out to Keto. He loves Jordan twos, and she's someone who loves Jordan twos. She deserves all the most heated Jordan twos that ever come out. And everybody who hates them needs to back up. And I will be one that's like, I hate Jordan twos respectfully. I'm not even gonna sit here in front. I hate Jordan twos. I ain't gonna fake the funk. Travis Scott could drop a Jordan two. You're gonna see me go, yeah, I'm good. I try to give him a chance. I don't like them. Jordan twos, I hate that shoe.
Is that the only pair?
Huh?
Is that the only pair you hate?
Let's see. I hate nines.
Oh man.
Yeah. I hate nines. I think I hate every nine except for the Space Jam nines. And that's because I loved Space Jam as a kid. Only had like four or five movies on VHS in my room as a kid, and amongst Lion King, a Michael Jackson Thriller. I had the Michael Jackson Thriller documentary of how they made the movie, and I want to say Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and some Ninja Turtles maybe.
Right.
Space Jam was like one of my movies under my little TV that I could watch before I go to bed.
Okay.
And, Jordan 9s, outside of the Space Jam ones, don't like them.
It's crazy that you call them the Space Jams, because that's like a new thing.
The Space Jam nines.
That's like a new term for them.
Yeah, that white and black pair.
Yeah, because you know we call them originals, but then sneakers app came out and called them Space Jam nines. So before we on us late. What's your goals for sneakers and creating and all that?
Man, I think my goal is to just right now my goal is to grow. I won't lie and say that, you know, I'm doing it to have fun, and I want to have fun with it, because for a long time, I think the reasons why I quit was because I didn't focus on having fun. I was looking at, oh man, look at comparisons to Thief of Joy. I'm looking at, look how well their video did, or look at my pictures. My pictures don't get retweeted. My pictures don't get liked. Like, how come their picture doesn't even look as good as my picture, and no one's talking about my pictures? Like, I'm getting sad. I'm feeling defeated.
Right.
And I wasn't putting enough focus on having fun and just being happy that I was able to do what I do. But now that I feel that I am, and that's why I've been able to do my TikToks again, I've been able to do my reels, and it's because I've started to step back from looking at all those metrics. But the metrics is a part of my goal and wanting to grow. And so it creates this weird space for me. But it's like, I can't look at that stuff, because if I start to look at it, then I start to feel defeated again. But okay. I definitely want to grow. It'd be nice to grow into being someone who brands feel like they do want me to talk about their product, and they do want me to take photos of it, you know, do this and that to it once they get it to me. And if it can become a second form of income, like, hell yeah. Like, not saying that I'm doing it for the money, but I want to say, like, that's probably, like, that's further on the list. But mainly, I just want to be an inspiration for others. I want to be an inspiration for others, which is why I don't gatekeep. I'm always willing to talk to people about what it is that I do. I think the more people that I can connect with that like to do what I do and kind of create my own circle and create my own network, everything else would just fall into place. So ultimately, the goal is to just grow as a creator and just kind of enjoy the ride and see what comes out of it, and make sure at the very most that I'm just having fun, just doing what I like to do. And a lot of that inspiration and a lot of that thought has come from, like, my many conversations with Kari. Like, Kari's a good dude, man. I really appreciate him for a lot of his mentorship recently in my like creative journey, because I would hit him up a lot and like express to him like yeah, man, like I don't want to do like I don't want to do this because I feel like I'm doing it for nothing. He's like, are you doing it for nothing? Like, you got to start being real with yourself. Are you out here doing this because you want to get seated and you want what's free and what comes with this? Or are you doing this because you really like to do it? And it was like, well, I really like to do it, but it is hard seeing people that, you know, not to knock anybody, to see people that's not even doing as much as you do, reaping benefits. And also, you know that, not even know, but you feel like, hey, like, if anything, they're the ones that's not doing it with their heart in it, and they're just doing it for the free shit, because look at this shit. It's just half-assed.
Right.
They don't they're not putting their all into it, and here it is. I'm doing the same shit that they're doing. I feel like that I'm doing it at an even higher level, or the same level, and I'm not getting recognized. And it was just like, bro, you can't measure your success off of that. And you know, we always talked about it, kept coaching me, kept getting on my ass about it, and it's been sticking, and it's making sense. Like, I think that's what it was. It was like, I just wasn't having fun growing and learning how to do new things and just letting that take me.
Okay. For sure. Yeah, I see, you know what I'm saying? You work with kids as well. You got the kids and the sneakers and all that, you know what I'm saying? That's lovely, you know what I'm saying? That's a good start. You know, I feel like, you know, as long as you keep creating, something's going to shake. You know what I'm saying? I feel like, yeah, we always see people that don't seem like they got their heart in it and give more. But that's just, you know, it is what it is. You know, all we can do is control what we can do in our output. You feel me? So,
yeah. Because, you know, like, I was doing this, like, I was, like, taking the flex. I was taking the photos and everything before, like, I got onto Twitter and I really just started paying attention to what people was doing on social media. But once I did start to pay attention, I ended up coming across AD Sneaks' page. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is a guy who does, like, he's a teacher. And it seems like he's kind of built his whole, like, following and his whole basis off of, oh, I'm a teacher. I'm the teacher that wears sneakers. Right. And I used to sit there and be like, well, shit, I work with kids too, and I like sneakers. Like, hell, I take pretty good photos too. Like, I'm involved with kids and I do this. Why does it seem like he's using that as a carrot, and or he's getting sneakers and he's getting endorsements as carrots for, you know, what he does with kids, and I'm doing the same shit.
Right.
And I used to I used to look at that, but now I look at it as it's kids that's asking me, like, Mr. Craig, can you teach me how to content create? And I'm like, that's the shit that matters more.
Right.
I'd rather be a role model. And I think I started telling myself, and it's a line from Drake. Drake says, you hot to these little kids, you ain't famous to me. But now I'm telling myself, man, as long as I'm hot to these little kids, I don't really feel the need to be famous. And right. I'm glad that I'm a role model. And I never really saw myself being in this position of being a person that kids wanted to be around, wanted to learn stuff from, and they just love to be a part of my world. They now wear sneakers to school, and it's like, Mr. Craig, can we take sneaker pics together? Can we get some pictures with you? And it's just like, yeah, let's do it. Yeah. And so I think that's the more, like, that's more rewarding than seeing what other people are getting, like, out of the deal. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, I try not to compare. It gets hard. But at the end of the day, that's not what we in the game for. Like, we not out here trying to win any type of gold. I just want to do it for, I want to do it for me. And I want to do it for these kids and for anybody else who needs to feel inspired.
For sure. And like you said, that's what it's about. You know what I'm saying? All we can do is keep working. And, you know what I'm saying, you already got shit sent to you. You know what I'm saying? If they send it to you before, they'll send it to you again. You know what I'm saying? So just keep on working, bro. And we're going to make it do what it do. But, yeah, I appreciate you for sharing your sneaker journey, sneaker story. You know, it's definitely I just like hearing how people get started and just hearing like, you know, like just to, because the community is so different, right? You know what I'm saying? Just like you said, 2016, you know, was when, you know, you got in the game. I got in the game like 2000 and whatever when I was in high school. There's people who got into it in the 90s, you know what I'm saying, the 80s. And so I just love to hear, like, you know what I'm saying, like if I could, I would have like a sneaker form of like just like OGs, you know, people with 10 pair, people with warehouses full, people with, you know what I'm saying, 50, just all talking about, you know what I'm saying, why they do it. Because it's all relative, you know what I'm saying? Some people, like I said, some people got garage full, some people got they five, and they five is mean the world to them, you know what I'm saying? There's people, like, you know what I'm saying? Because in that, sometimes those people are almost like why the game is important, because I got shoes that I forget I even had, you know what I'm saying? And like, and is that like even like, is that like, is that more important than the person who has like their pair of Concord 11s that they, you know, busted their ass for and got, and they hold those shoes in value, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just got rid of like half of my collection just off the strength of what you just said. I was just like, man, do I really need all these? Like, do I really need all these? I feel like I forget that I have them sometimes. I don't even wear half of them most of the time just because I'm wearing the newer stuff. I'm like, eh.
Right. It's like a rotation, you feel me? It's like,
yeah.
But yeah, brother, you go. It's late. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate you for agreeing to come on and share your story. We got to get up again. You know what I'm saying? Because Portland, home of this sneaker capital, so you know.
Yeah. I really want to be able to. I want to get out and start doing more. Like, I feel like for Portland to be the home of Nike, like there is not a lot. I won't say there's not a lot of sneaker community, but I feel like it's not as like active, and I feel like it only gets active around that sneaker week time, and then after that it just fizzles out. Like I don't get to see, you know, people out like excited about the new drops at the Nike store. It's more so people are showing up to just be in line, but not to just be happy to be out, you know what I'm saying, like waiting for this drop. Like people who's ready to be plexed up, nah, you better not cut. People out camping out, making lists, making line, like it's no community. You know what I'm saying? Like you don't really know each other. It's just
right.
I really want to start like doing stuff that kind of like creates that. I don't know when I'm gonna have time to, but
it used to be that way. It used to be that way before, like before sneakers app for real, before COVID, you know what I'm saying? Like you could meet people, you know what I'm saying, who will be at every drop, right? They'd be at every drop. You know what I'm saying? You meet them, you know what I'm saying? You get to know them. It's like how Twitter is, right? You know what I'm saying? You know the sneakerheads on Twitter, right? You know what I'm saying? It was like that in Portland. That's how, like, you know, like that dead stock, you know, like everybody who hangs out there is like a part of that community, you know what I'm saying? Like people who was either working for Nike or they was buying hella Nikes, and they just all kind of, you know, clicked up. But it's hard with, you know, with sneakers app and then like the fucking raffle shit, you know, it's like, because we can't just show up and cop. Now we gotta like win raffles, we gotta, you know, get reserves. So it's tough. But that don't mean we can't adapt and, you know what I'm saying, and make it happen again, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, so, but I feel like if that's your goal, bro, you know what I'm saying? Let's get on it.
Yeah.
You know, let's have like a, you know, sneaker brunch or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, we should do those, man. And she definitely had those. That'd be dope.
For sure. So, but yeah, but I'll be in touch, bro. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate you for sliding through, and I'll get this chopped up and send out to the world.
Yeah, man. P.S., man. Hey, Twitter. You know what I'm saying? I hope this gives y'all some insight into who I am. I feel like I'm so misunderstood on Twitter, bro. Like, I feel like people think I'm like this abrasive, like, problematic dickhead. And it's just like, no, that's not me, bro. It's not me as a person at all. I just see, I have a vision. Yeah, I'm passionate. I have a vision. And I just, you know, I really, it would be nice for that vision to come to life. And I think you would, I think you would like it if you kind of just, you know, just gave it some thought. You know, I know I'm not like, I haven't been in the sneaker Twitter space for years. I know everybody kind of likes to rally behind a few people. I'm not asking for nobody to rally behind me, but you know what I'm saying? Just hear me out.
For sure. Yes, sir. All right, bro. I'm gonna holler at you.
All right. Catch you later, bro. Appreciate you for having me, and thank you. We can do this again sometime.
Oh, for sure.
All right.
Peace.
Peace.